This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and the author of more than 20 books, including No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, an important new book that exposes the undeniable campaign to secularize America by the Obama administration. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
It's no secret that the mainstream media ignore events that do not fit in with left-wing ideology. Here's a story you probably did not hear on the news. 19-year-old Manuel Garcia took a gun to the San Antonio restaurant where his ex-girlfriend worked. She wasn't there, but he opened fire on other employees, who then started to run out of the store, but he ran after them, shooting in the parking lot and inside the next-door movie theater. Garcia wounded one person, but the evening did not become a repeat of other disasters. Off-duty Sheriff Officer Lisa Castellano was in the theater that night, and she was carrying a gun. She ordered Garcia to drop his weapon. He refused, and then she shot him. He was then arrested by another off-duty officer. The media reaction was silence. Funny thing, there was hardly any coverage outside of San Antonio. That's particularly striking when you consider that this happened just a couple of days after the Newtown, Connecticut shooting. This was a time when the media and the left were obsessively asking what could be done to prevent another mass shooting. Their suggestion, of course, was gun control, taking guns away from law-abiding citizens. But when a mass shooting was prevented, the media turned a blind eye. When an armed citizen stops a shooting rampage before anybody dies, that doesn't fit in with the left-wing narrative. The media would rather have a story that allows them to demonize gun owners. Imagine how different the tragedies in Newtown and Aurora might have gone if there'd been a movie patron or a teacher with a gun. Citizens with guns have a far better track record at stopping mass murders than do liberal anti-gun policies. The lesson here is, the best way to stop a bad person with a gun is a good person with a gun.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Do you underestimate the important role of your state legislators? Don't. There's much state senators and representatives can do to protect your rights, your paycheck, and your personal freedoms. At eagleforum.org, join the blog with Phyllis Schlafly, and you'll be empowered and informed. That's eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer. Our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at HerbalHealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit HerbalHealer.com today. HerbalHealer.com. That's HerbalHealer.com.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called MicroPlant Powder Gold. MicroPlant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make MicroPlant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today. Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
This is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit Spingola.com. There you will see the names of every single guest that I've ever had on the program since October 23rd, 2010, as well as links to their websites. Just visit the website and click on the radio schedule button. Please visit SpingolaSpeaks.info, a site that one of our wonderful, very talented listeners created. Please don't forget that the American Free Press is currently having a big book sale. You can go and look at their books at AmericanFreePress.net. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Ann Diamond. She is the author of My Cold War and Other Works. Her website is anndiamond.net. Ann, welcome to the program.
Hi. Happy to meet you. Hi there.
Well, it's very nice to have you on. We haven't talked for an hour. We haven't talked for a whole hour.
Well, we were chatting a bit, and the line sounds good. I hope it is, anyway. From here,
yes, it sounds fine.
Good, great. Yeah, very I'm up good. In Montreal. So, way up north. Well, no, not that far north from you in Chicago.
Yeah. I'll have to look at the map and see exactly where you're at. All righty. Okay. Yeah. I have your book, My Cold War, and I haven't finished it. I must confess I have not finished it. But anyway, I did get the Kindle version, which is available at Amazon. And it looks very, very interesting. I've read some of it, not all of it.
That's okay. I think of it as unfinished anyway. And that's one reason why it's available in the format that it's in and why and it's also a self-published book rather than something that another, that a publisher has taken. Because when I was writing it, there was a lot to process, and there was, frankly, in some ways, it was, 7 years ago, I think, when I created that edition that you can download. But I'm still, in many ways, recovering from the impact of some of the information that began pouring into my life. You could say,
sure.
When I found out that my family had been involved in this experimental program, a secret program going on in Montreal at the time, but also in a lot of other places around North America.
Indeed. And this is what you have written about in your book, and I've gotten to the point where I understand that you were quite ill. You had pneumonia. You went to the hospital. That must have been very scary.
And
your family seems somewhat normal. I haven't gotten to the point where you actually talk about the experiments. Just the fact that they had taken you somewhere to a facility. You thought you were out on a Sunday drive. Everybody was all dressed up.
Yeah.
And then you really don't remember what happened at the facility.
You know, I have memories. You know, when I was writing the book, I was, you know, the memories were coming in and information was coming in, and I was meeting people who were confirming what I was finding out. It was really quite a strange process. And that explains, in a way, why the book is written the way it was. Now, back in 2004, but all my life, in fact, I mean, to answer your question, I have had memories of being in an underground facility, or I could say, a very vivid memory of having been in something that seemed like an underground facility. I can describe it. I mean, it's very odd. But what I remembered and what I used to try to tell my mother when I was 4 years old was that there was this underground place where children, hundreds of children, were confined. I remember a scene where they were strapped to a kind of assembly line belt, and people who looked like witches or clowns were in the process of electroshocking them. And it was a kind of sexual torture. And I was 4 years old, and every night, before I went to sleep, I would conjure up this horrific scene. And I remember also at least once trying to tell my mother, and she said, oh, well, it was a nightmare, you know. But I would fall asleep with that scene in my mind almost every night from the age of 4 till I was around, I don't know, 6, something like that.
Well, that's interesting, because I think that you can only dream about things that are within your experience.
Well, the strange, you know, I'd always assumed, right, and I think that's probably true, but also I'd always assumed, you know, that was a dream. And in fact, I wrote a short story, you know, I used to write fiction and publish fiction in Canada, and I wrote a short story describing that underground world, and I published it in the mid-80s, which was so long before the Internet, long before survivors of these experiments started speaking out. But I just described it in great detail, you know, because it had been a vivid memory all my life. And it was only in 2002 when various things came together and I began researching, thinking about my childhood, thinking about what happened to my family in the 50s and 60s, that I began meeting people online and reading what they'd written, and I found people who described the exact same scenario of an underground base where doctors dressed as witches and clowns were performing these strange, and they talked about cattle prod, like, you know, long pointed things. I remember long pointed stick that they used, and it jolted the children. And I found, to my total, you know, shock, I guess, at the time, that there were people who were writing about the same memory, and that was in 2002. That's when I began, you know, wanting to know a lot more about it.
Sure. Well, it's very interesting. I had Dr. Ross on, Colony Ross, last week, about a week ago.
Oh, you did?
And he talked about the False Memory Foundation, and that is an organization designed to discredit people who have these memories.
Sure.
That they don't know the source of the memory, and so this False Memory Foundation has been designed to discredit people like you. Now, we also talked about the McMartin case and the underground tunnels there, which some of the children had talked about. And archaeologists actually went in, and of course these tunnels had all been kind of closed up, but archaeologists went in and did discover that there was scientific evidence, there was evidence there that there had been tunnels, and corroborates the idea that these children really did know what they were talking about.
Yeah, I've read that story and I've heard about it. And the thing about that case was that it was, I think, at the same time that evidence was coming out or about to come out from the archaeologist, the district attorney of L.A., Ira Reiner, threw the case out. Said there was no more. There was no point in going any further with it. He basically threw it out of court. So there never could have that evidence was never allowed to be made public.
And then, of course, they made movies of it, showing that this was all just a big fabrication. And these,
yeah, I saw one of those movies last year.
Sure.
Oh, God.
I probably
HBO.
Did, too.
Yeah. With what's his name? With James Caan, I think? Or is that
I think, one? Yes, I think so. And and one of the kids of this of the McMartin family, the one that they accused, I can't remember what his name was, but he was they had him looking like a dork with big horn rimmed glasses and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just to make it seem like okay, this was a weird kid, but that doesn't mean that anything happened there. They just had this weird son. Okay, we will be right back after a word from our sponsor in about 3 minutes.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop 6 hits. But what about the 7th? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled InfidelBodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Ann Diamond. She is the author of My Cold War and Other Works. Her website is anndiamond.net. And we were discussing the McMartin operation, that case, and how they made a movie out of it, and the False Memory Foundation. And I am certain that a lot of times psychiatrists do kind of provoke people or persuade people or help people to create false memories, but I don't think that is always the case. I think that people do remember the things that happened to them when they were very young. And if they don't remember mentally, I think they emotionally know something has happened to them, or their body knows it. Your body has a memory, remembers things that happened to it. And then later on, a circumstance might occur that makes you remember something that happened to you much earlier. What are your thoughts?
Having the time to remember, and to not be caught up in daily life, making a living. I mean, I think that keeps most people very occupied and makes them also block out memories that they may have. I mean, I can't really speak to whether false memories or whether it's possible for psychiatrists to implant memories. I've never seen a psychiatrist consciously in my waking life. To my knowledge, I have never been in the office of a psychiatrist. I've never spoken to, I've known psychiatrists, sort of met them, but around town in different places. But I have apparently a file at McGill University, which says which is a psychiatry file, dating back to 1955 when I was 3.5 years old. And there is, we were talking about my pneumonia experience when they took me downtown in an ambulance, and I remember that very clearly. I remember the attendant putting a mask on my face, and I remember it smelled of ether, and I kept ripping it off. And they putting it back on. But ether is not really what you ought to be giving a child who can't breathe. I mean, they put me
to
sleep essentially in the ambulance. I remember that very clearly. I remember blacking out in the ambulance. You know, that at 3.5, that's a very traumatic thing. I don't remember very much about what happened after. Supposedly, according to everything my family knew and told me, in fact, they came down to visit me and so on, I was then in a life-threatening, I had such bad pneumonia that they told my parents not to come and see me because I was at death's door. And my mother would tell me later, she said she came down finally, she got to see me, and I was strapped to the bed, delirious, and I didn't recognize her. And the nurses were fluttering around saying, oh, your poor daughter, and oh, she doesn't recognize you. But evidence now points, there's no record of my ever being in that hospital or ever having had pneumonia, but there is a psychiatry file that started then at age 3, and everything I've found points to my having been put in a secret LSD experiment involving quite a few children in 1955 at McGill University in Montreal.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, evidence being, it's difficult because they destroy all records, right? But I can logically, from what I know and from what other people have told me who were in similar situations, that's what happened. And that's why they will not, when I go to get my records, when I tried to go, I should have brought a cameraman or something with me. The panic, that came over them when they realized that I was one of those children, this was like only a few years ago, I was a grown-up woman, it was quite something to see, because officially they've covered that institution, McGill University, and the hospital it's associated with, the hospitals it's associated with, have had to cover up a whole long and dark history of experiments on children, my generation.
Wow.
And generations after, yeah.
Okay, where is McGill University located? Is that in
downtown Montreal, kind of on a mountain in the middle of Mount Royal? It's in the middle of Montreal, and McGill University sort of perch on one face of that mountain. It's not much of a mountain if you're from Colorado or someplace, but it's a little bump, in the middle.
Sure.
The city and the McGill is on that bump, and McGill is notorious now too, since about 19. In the late 70s, when an American researcher, John Marks, published his book about the MK Ultra program, the book was called The Making of the Manchurian Candidate, and it brought McGill University to worldwide attention as having been the scene of one of the real hubs of these secret experiments. And they used mental patients, they used Aboriginal people. They used all kinds of people, but they also used children, including orphans. And the children part of the whole equation had to be totally hushed up. But for a while, the records were available of experiments on children. I never got to see them.
Wow.
Back in about 1978. But I had a friend who had been in this program, had been given massive amounts of LSD as a child, until he was about 15, when he had one too many out-of-body experiences, and he'd been at McGill as a child, and he used to tell us, I was at McGill as a child, and I took a lot of LSD in the 50s and 60s, and we sort of, this was the 70s, right, when he would talk, and we would go, oh, that's strange. What's that about? We had no idea. We had no idea we'd been in them either. Then he started, when this book came out in 1977, John Marks, and it became an international news story, but not in Montreal at first, he went down and he started extracting records, and he found records for half the people I knew at the time, including myself and my twin brother. And he would tell me about it, and I wouldn't go down. Unfortunately, I could kill myself, really. He said that your records are down at McGill. He said you and your brother were in experiments before you were born. Well, that sounded so insane and whacked out, you know?
Well, yeah, that does sound weird. But is it possible?
Yeah, it is. It is based on everything. You know, if back when he told me, which was about 1978, 79, and I thought he was crazy at the time, and I didn't want any part of it, you know, I said I was never at McGill, didn't go to that university, and, well, you know, that makes no sense. And he said, your whole family was involved in this program with, and so was my family, he said. And I just, made no sense. It just could not relate to it. But based on then, you know, 15, 20 years later, well, not 2002, suddenly I realized, because the Freedom of Information Act and the information was there, you could access enough files to begin to piece together, and people were doing it, they were writing books, like Carol Retz, you know, wrote A Nation Betrayed and so on, where she used her files from the CIA. She'd been in those experiments, and she said she'd been taken as a child to McGill, to that very same hospital that I'd been in, you know, what was called the Allen Memorial. And she describes the same year, one of the years later, because it continued, it went on into the 60s, in 1960 she describes and even draws a picture of the limousine that took her to the top of the hill that the Allen Memorial, just behind McGill, is sitting on, and how she was taken into a behavioral laboratory where there were orphans, children. She didn't really know them. And she was a visiting kind of American star. She'd been selected to go really far in this program, and she saw children in cages, children strapped into chairs, you know, all sorts of things she talks about, and she talks about it in her book. And that would have been my generation of kids. The kids that were permanently there were usually orphans. I, from what I understand, was a weekend child. I was there sometimes.
Now, in your book, you talk about your parents taking you somewhere during the weekend. Okay, we do have a 4-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsor, and we'll pick it up on the other side.
Freedom ain't free, but shooting is cheap. Knob Creek Gun Range. Shoot safe, pay less, have fun. Rifles, pistols, shotguns, cannons, what you got? We got a 350-yard outdoor range, plus other secret ranges we're not even supposed to talk about. Come to Knob Creek Gun Range in West Point, Kentucky, and celebrate diversity at our next shoot coming up on October 11th, 12th, and the 13th. 690 Ritchie Lane, West Point, Kentucky, 40177. Visit our website at knobcreekrange.com to find out more information on everyday activities or to get information on the October shoot on October 11th, 12th, and the 13th, or call 502-922-4457. Again, that's 502-922-4457. Knob Creek Gun Range, where the Second Amendment comes first. Go to knobcreekrange.com today or just show up ready to fire at 690 Ritchie Lane, West Point, Kentucky, 40177. Call 502-922-4457.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TheraVim.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Welcome back. It's Deanna. Our guest today is Ann Diamond. She is the author of My Cold War and other works. Her website is anndiamond.net. Okay, you were talking about that you went to this facility, as you write in your book, on the weekend. And so can you tell us a little bit about what you remember and what happened?
Nothing. I remember nothing.
You can't remember anything?
I remember drives in the country, and I have photographs of my father, on a couple of days where he took my brother. My brother and I were all dressed up in sort of funny little suits, and we went for a drive in the country, and I don't remember ever arriving anywhere. I remember things like a dress that my mother made for me, and it was for a party, but I don't remember ever going to the party. You know, it was a very special dress, and I chose the material, and I don't remember ever wearing it. The thing I just want to make really clear is that, you know, I haven't been through the kind of therapy that could bring up a flood of memories, but I've had some, and they involve experiments that were done apparently on me that were of a sexual nature sometimes, and sometimes it involved electroshock. Okay, I've had what I would call flashbacks. You know, very vivid, coming out of nowhere, where I'm a little girl. I'm strapped to a table, and there are men in white coats standing around me, and I hear their conversation, and they're discussing a procedure that they're about to do. I don't know where this took place exactly, but I suspect it was at the Allen Memorial, and which is that institute, the notorious Allen Memorial Institute in Montreal, which was one of the, you know, the main sites of the MK Ultra program, and where there was kind of a psychiatrist who's, he's, well, you know, very well known. He's always, he always comes up when people talk about MK Ultra, and Dr. Ewan Cameron, and he was, you know, who was there at that time. So I remember these men standing around me, and I mean, in a sense, I've had a physical memory and a kind of a reliving of that, and they, and then they apply a shock to my heart, and there's this, they're discussing it as something that could kill me, and then they try it, and for a minute it seems my heart stops, and then it starts to beat again, and I'm alive, and you know, and then I wake up. I jump off, well, after being lifted off the bed by the force of the shock. I mean, in my real bed, in my real where I am now, and, you know, at my, at the age I was when, which was about, I was about 7 or 8 years ago.
Now, have you ever talked about this to your parents?
No way, because no, they. My mother died in 1980, and my father died in 1974. And my father spent the last 10 years of his life, obviously. Well, he had been a patient. This is part of the whole family story, which is a little bit complicated to tell, you know. But my father became a patient of Dr. Cameron in 1962, just after the Cuban Missile Crisis. And my father was a high school teacher in Montreal. And out of the blue, you know, he was a pretty tense guy, but he wasn't in any way, he had no history of mental illness. Suddenly, he came home one day, and then he left, and he went down to this mental hospital, and he was there for 6 weeks, and we were just, you know, we were kind of terrified. When he came back 6 weeks later, he went back to teaching, but it was clear much of his memory was gone. It had, you know, he wasn't the same guy at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know, so, now you were just a kid at that time, so.
I was 11, yeah.
Uh-huh. So did you understand why he went, or did he explain it? Did your mother explain it to you, what was going on?
It seemed that he was having, they were having problems in their marriage. You know, as an 11-year-old, he wouldn't really know what those problems are, but they would argue quite a bit, and he seemed very tense, and he would come home from work, from, you know, his teaching job, and he would seem, you know, he seemed troubled by something. I remember that much. And then, but certainly, never any bizarre behavior or anything on his part. It just suddenly, whoosh, he was taken down there, and we didn't get to see him. I remember going down once and seeing him. He was in a private room, and I remember going down and seeing him and talking with him a bit.
Now, was he ever in the military?
Yes. My father was an Air Force flight sergeant, and during the Second World War, he was older than, you know, he was born in 1902. So in the Second World War, he's a little old to go over to Europe, so they sent him out to British Columbia, where there was basically a military intelligence training site.
Oh.
And he got trained in military intelligence. This was so secret, he never told us, right? All he ever said was he played piano for the troops and the reserves in British Columbia, and it rained all the time. But in fact, I got his military records, and more happened than that. I mean, and including a time where, for it seems like for a few hours, he went AWOL. Might have been, I could have even been, he missed a train while coming back from visiting his parents in the country, in Ontario or something, you know.
Sure.
And they put him in the brig for 2 weeks. And that's on his record. And that is a typical situation for people like Carol Rutz and others who have written about being in MKUltra. They say that their fathers were often in the Air Force, and were blackmailed because of having gone AWOL or some little infraction of some kind, put in the brig, then for the rest of their lives they could be controlled by the threat of a dishonorable discharge. And therefore they would be approached at the end of the war, like and start having kids, like my parents had us in 1950s or 1951. They would come and say, well, I think my father was actually asked to participate in some I think that. I mean, you know, and then your children, we're interested in your children, and you can't refuse, you know.
Sure.
And that, all of it, logically, you know, there's a reason for all this stuff.
Now, your parents, or your father, received a check for $3,000?
Again, okay, should I explain it a little?
Sure.
When I was doing my research, well, I know that I'm convinced that on my fifth birthday something very special happened. That's why the special dress that my mother sewed for me, and we went somewhere, but I don't remember where. I was a twin, so it was two of us celebrating our fifth birthday, right, in 1956 in April. When I was doing research, and back in 2003, I guess, I went down to Washington, and I got the boxes. There's 17 boxes of files that were put together by John Marks, who was the first person to write about the MKUltra program, and he managed to get financial records. Everything had been destroyed. All records had been destroyed, and he was going nowhere, and suddenly someone came up with 17 boxes of financial records relating to the MKUltra program that the CIA at the time, I think it was under Richard Helms, had not, they hadn't found them, and they hadn't destroyed them, so they were there. He gathered those up. Those are the files that I went through in 2003, and in one of those files that related to McGill University from everything I, you know, was a project, I think, 68, Dr. Cameron, McGill University, hypnosis, drugs, and I don't know, they didn't say, but an experiment in hypnosis and drugs, and I believe I was in that, Project 68. And in the records for that project, I found a receipt, kind of, what do you call that? He'd written a check, and it was in his ledger or whatever, on April 11th, 1956, my fifth birthday, for $3,000. That's as close as I can come. It doesn't say who it was written to. And, you know, they launder those files. They don't exactly... But, I mean, they have, what do they call them? They have clean, what are they called? Clean, I forget what they're called.
They cleanse them, yeah.
Yeah, they cleanse those files. So there was not as though I found my father's name on a check, but on my birthday, 1956, the check was written for $3,000. And I think that's about, from what I've heard, that's about what parents were given. That was a lot of money then.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You could put a down payment on a house and buy a new car.
Right, isn't that what
which
you said?
Which is what happened.
Did?
Which is what we did in 1956, right?
Right, because you were in two apartments and then you went to the suburbs.
Yeah, moved to a new house. Yeah.
Wow. So you did. You had the opportunity to look at John Marks and his the boxes, the research boxes that he had, and he wrote the search for the Manchurian Candidate, the CIA,
and
mind
control.
And those
files are at George Washington University in Washington, D.C., I think I've got that right, the National Security Archive, the elevator there, and you go in, and they're very nice, and they'll let you, I think anyone can access those files, at least they, you know, they could back in 2003.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot in there, and I found other things. I was told, we won't find very much because it's just financial stuff, but there were also some grant proposals in there, research proposals, which were very interesting.
Okay, we will be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
That moment of panic, sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone, frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few thousand bucks during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Don't answer! answer it. How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
John Statmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site again is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759, 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, veteran-owned and operated.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Ann Diamond. Her website is anndiamond.net. She is the author of My Cold War and other works. Okay, so tell us some more about what you... Well, you said you don't remember...
That's it. It's very important to say that. I remember certain, that's the thing. I just want to explain that, you know, you're speaking of the false memory syndrome people, the foundation, right? You know, I think they, from what I know of them, I think they deny that it's possible to erase memories. And yet, I mean, these are some of the same people that know very well it's very possible to erase someone's memory. And they're very busy doing that, finding ways to do that, right?
Of course.
And they were doing that back then. So to say that you could, you know, you take a child and you put them into where I was taken, put them through an extremely traumatic series of situations that also involve electroshock and drugs. and it seems to me quite normal that the child coming out of that's not going to remember very much, because the whole point of that program, the whole purpose of the MKUltra program, was to create mind-controlled agents, you know, people that they could hypnotize, who would go on missions, do things that they would never do under ordinary conditions, come back and remember nothing of it. They were working with amnesia and controlling amnesia, and they use it. They use various techniques, including stun guns, things that they were working on those techniques at McGill, and they needed guinea pigs to find out, you know, whether they could really do these things, which they'd heard from British intelligence and so on, there was a guy called Sargent, William Sargent in London, who had been doing it, right? And other Estabrooks and these various people who pioneered it. They wanted to work on that at McGill and get to be really good at it, and they used children. Children were available in Quebec more than almost anywhere else in North America or maybe the world, because we had an overpopulation of war orphans.
And of course they always use people that are sequestered, such as
vulnerable.
In a prison, or people they have control over, for instance, in the military, or children, such as orphans. Indeed.
So logically, I mean, after the war, Quebec had the highest birth rate in North America, and many babies being born out of wedlock because of the chaos created by the war and all the soldiers coming in and, you know, going out with French Canadian girls, and then they'd have babies and the church would say, you can't keep the baby, put them in an orphanage, and the orphanages were overflowing. And they had no
goodness.
So we had, that's kind of well known. I mean, it's around the same time that people were beginning to remember their memories of being in the MKUltra program, which was in the early 90s. At the same time, there was a generation growing up of what they called the Duplessis orphans, because that was the name of the Prime Minister of Quebec at the time, who made this deal, I think, with, you know, who essentially built orphanages, and I think dealt with the military, the U.S. and Canadian military. I'm conjecturing, but everything points to that. They're having
now, what was the Prime Minister's name?
His name was Maurice Duplessis. Oh, you want me to spell it? D-U-P-L-E-S-S-I-S. He was kind of famous at the time. He was a dictator, essentially. He was the dictator of Quebec, quite charismatic. And he was elected many times. He ruled the province with an iron fist.
And he made the deal with the CIA?
Well, I believe he did. You know, I don't know if anyone has said that. I began reading about something called the Quebec Conference, which was in 1943, 1944.
Yes,
you know, in Quebec on the St. Lawrence River, and Roosevelt came and Churchill came, you know, and the Canadian Prime Minister came, and Duplessis was the host because he was the Quebec Prime Minister, you know. And it's just sort of been the ideal. They were talking about the weapons of the future, you know, and unconventional future weapons, and one of those would have, in my opinion, at the time they were talking about things like biological, chemical warfare, mind control drugs. LSD had just been invented and was coming out of Switzerland, you know. In 43, I think they started shipping it around. I know some came to Quebec at that time, came to McGill. You know.
Huh.
And so it was a perfect opportunity for him to say, well, from what I've heard, you know, we'll get a place at the table. We'll become important here in Quebec. We're just this nowhere little parochial wilderness, but now we can be important. We have something to offer the military and these governments. We have our children that nobody wants, right?
These babies,
so on. Come on. You know, it just seems to me, I mean, it's a bit of intuitive, you know, it's a bit intuitive on my part, but there is there's enough evidence of, you know, that that Duplessis was in contact with von Ribbentrop, Hitler's foreign minister at the time, who wanted to send Nazi scientists, and he wanted to take an island in the St. Lawrence called Sable Island and set up a laboratory there with his Nazi scientists in 1937, before the war, but they were already in contact. There were connections through the Vatican with Quebec. There were priests at Quebec and bishops and some cardinals who were very high up in the Vatican secret societies, and, you know, they could make deals like that. They could, ensure that these little networks, the same networks that would have gotten the Nazis out of Europe after the war, would have gotten, you know, would have helped to set up this kind of situation.
Well, I think a lot of the Germans left after the war because they were forced to, and they were actually said, okay, we're going to take you to America, because the Soviets were after a lot of the patents in Germany, And the United States was after a lot of the patents. They took thousands upon thousands of patents. And of course, they also took a lot of the human resources, which would be your scientists and your doctors and your physicists and your aeronautics, people. And that's what they did. That's what they do all over the country, all over the world. Yeah. In any kind of warfare, the people who win always take the resources, or at least control the resources, and then they leave. They leave armed forces within each country in order to protect those resources. And
that's it. But they kind of, being the victors, they can take over the, which I think they did. They took all, I believe they took over the Nazi files and so on in terms of their concentration camp research. That was available to the American Army, and they could have, maybe the British too, and they could get that, all the results of those experiments that were done under horrible conditions.
There's a question about whether or not those medical experiments were done when, in fact, you have to have proof that they were done, not just eyewitness testimony.
Well, true, but I think I guess that's an area
we already agreed that we weren't going to go there. So.
We're not going to go there, but. But I did have, I can't remember, it's gone out of my mind what I was going to say about that. But I know that Mengele, for example, was caught in Bavaria, and I know that he had packed up all his files and was trying to get out, left the concentration camp he was in, left Auschwitz, and that he was picked up and held by American, whatever, never mind, we're not going to go there. Handed over his files in order to save his life, what happened after that,
there's all sorts of Mengele stories. All kinds.
And I can't
prove
them.
Keep making stuff up. Oh, my goodness. Very creative.
But the thing is that the same kind of trauma experiments that allegedly Mengele was involved with, right, were being done, were continued in Canada by scientists who were... some of them were from Nazi Germany. There's no question about it. I mean, I believe I've heard enough accounts. I mean, there was a project out in Alberta and so on where, a survivor has basically told her story in a huge amount of detail about what was going on at a military base in Alberta, right, during the 50s and 60s.
Wow. All righty, we are going to our top of the hour break. We will be back at 6 minutes after the hour. And we'll pick this up on the other side. Stay tuned.